We're going to read Luke chapter 24, and just to begin with, we'll read the first six verses. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 6. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came again unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for your power. You had power to create this universe. Your Son was a part of that. It was by the Word of God that the world was created. We know that Jesus is the living Word of God, the walking Word of God. It's by your power that the world was created. It's by your power and grace that we are forgiven of our sins and we can be cleansed from all our unrighteousness. It's by your power that Jesus rose from the grave. And I thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you've done in me, the work that you've begun in me. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Lord, if someone does not know you as their personal Savior, if someone is just maybe living a lie and they don't know Christ, I pray you'd convict their heart deeply, that they would be humble enough to admit their need for Jesus Christ in their life and to admit that they're not truly saved or not born again. May we recognize our need for Christ in our life, and those that do know Him as Savior, help us to live a resurrected life. Help us to live in the power of the risen Savior. To walk in newness of life. Help us to live in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, speak to our hearts today, I pray, through your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. The angel we read about there in the empty tomb spoke to the women and told them to remember what Jesus had taught them. Toward the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus, he often taught his disciples about his coming, death, burial, and resurrection. And they didn't always understand it. But he tried to teach them about the fact that he would die, he would be crucified, and he would raise his body up again. He would be raised to life again. And Jesus used illustrations. Matthew 12 and verse 40 says, "As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 nights in the heart of the earth." In John chapter 2, he had said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it back up." And he wasn't talking about, you know, the Jewish temple. He was talking about this temple. He was talking about his own body. They could destroy this temple. They could destroy his body. They could crucify him and put him to death, but he was going to raise it back up. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, he told them this, "I lay down my life, and I take it back." Truth is, it wasn't the soldiers and this and that that took his life from him. He gave his life willingly. He laid it down for us. He laid down his life on the cross for us. John chapter 11 and verse 25, he said this, "I am the resurrection and the life." In spite of all the advance warning, in spite of Jesus trying to tell them of what was coming, still they were perplexed. Still they were amazed. Still, you know, when they saw the empty tomb, and where is he? He's gone. He's gone. Well, he had told them that. But still they were perplexed. In spite of all that Jesus had tried to teach them, they were confused. I want you to look again there. Keep your Bible open. Look at what it says in verse 1 to 4. Luke 24, 1 to 4. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed," they were much perplexed thereabout, "behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." It was angels. Mary Magdalene was perplexed. Mary Magdalene was perplexed. Read on in verse number 5. It says, "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. "And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. The 11 disciples. Judas, of course, is not with them any longer. To all the rest. Verse 10 says, "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." First, Mary Magdalene, she was perplexed, the Bible tells us. And then the disciples, the apostles, they were in disbelief. They didn't believe it. What? This is idle tales. You're just making up stories. And they were filled with disbelief. Look at what it says in verse 12. "Then arose Peter." Peter had to see for himself. "Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Mary Magdalene was perplexed. The apostles were in disbelief. Peter was wondering in himself. And then go on. Look at verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day." Two disciples. "Behold, two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them." Two disciples on the road to Emmaus, a few miles from Jerusalem, they were talking. And what was it? They were confused. They were trying to reason in themselves. They were trying to figure out, what has happened? What has happened? You know, we know he died. We know he was buried. We know he was put in that tomb. Where is he? Where is he gone now? What happened? And notice how Jesus responded to their confusion. When the disciples were confused, when they were sad, when they were brokenhearted, Jesus came to them to show love and compassion. He came to them to encourage them. He came to them to comfort them. He came to them to show them that He was alive. Look at what it says in beginning in verse 15. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him." They didn't recognize Him yet. "And He said unto them, What manner of communications? What have you been talking about? What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and are sad." He saw them. They looked so sad. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the disciples. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." They were confused and they were worried, and Jesus came to them. Listen, the disciples here had some wrong expectations. They were thinking in their mind that Jesus Christ would free them from Roman rule. He would free them from the Roman oppression. But Jesus Christ didn't come to earth the first time to establish a throne or to establish a kingdom or to get rid of the Roman rule and to set himself up. He didn't come that time to be establish himself as a king. He came the first time to earth to be a lamb, to be slaughtered, to go to the cross of Calvary. You know, all that took place, none of it happened on accident. It was all the design and plan of an almighty God who was sending His Son to come and die on the cross for our sins. He came the first time to do so much more than just to establish, you know, an earthly kingdom. He was coming to begin a heavenly kingdom, really. He was coming to die on the cross for the sins of mankind and to set people free from the bondage and the slavery of sin. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at just a few other scriptures. We'll come back to Luke 24 in a few minutes. But notice what the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 15 and beginning in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Have you found it? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1 to 4 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. It was by Christ's death and burial and resurrection that He made a way for mankind to be saved from the penalty of sin. It was by His resurrection that Christ rose victorious. And listen, it's only through Him, it's only through Jesus that we can have the freedom from sin. It's only through Jesus that we can be set free from the penalty of sin and have victory over the power of sin." Notice what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15 and down in verse number 55. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through Him we can have the victory. The disciples, they thought that Jesus would be the one that could set them free from Herod. That's really what many of the disciples thought. He's going to be the one. He's going to be the one who helps us to overthrow the Romans. Go back to John chapter 8 with me. John chapter 8. Jesus wanted to do so much more for them than that. He wasn't just there to set them free from Roman government and Roman rule and set them free from Herod and his taxes and set them free from Caesar and his taxes and so on. Jesus wanted to give them freedom of a different kind. He wanted to give them freedom from the bondage and slavery of sin. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 32 to verse 36. John 8, 32 to 36. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Listen to me this morning. When we have hurts and confusion in our own hearts and minds, Jesus is the one who can comfort us by His presence. When we have sin in our life and we are living, and truthfully, we may be shackled by the chains of sin, and we know that it's our sins that make us guilty in the eyes of God, we know that because of our sins we're condemned. Listen, God is holy and God is righteous. But then we remember that it's God's Son, His only begotten Son, who can give us peace with God. It's God's only Son who can take away our sins. It's God's only Son who can take the guilt away in our life. It's Him that can truly set us free. And that's what we must be set free from. The bondage, the penalty, the guilt of sin. Listen, we all are sinners and we all need to be set free. And we can only be set free through Jesus Christ. God's precious gift to us was His Son, Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came down to earth to die on the cross for sinful men and sinful women like you and like me. Go back to Luke chapter 24, and I want you to notice something that Jesus shares with them. After those disciples on the Emmaus Road, after those disciples share with Jesus what had been happening, what events had been taking place in those last few days,
and what had happened on that resurrection morning, how the ladies went to the tomb and the tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away. The body of Jesus was gone. As they share the reason for their sadness, notice what He says to them. Notice what He tries to teach them about Himself. Look at Luke 24, beginning there in verse 25. Luke 24, verses 25 to 27, it says, "Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." He taught them a whole course. He taught them a course that time on the road. He taught them about Christ in the Old Testament. And He taught them about Himself. And He taught them about how He came and He had to suffer and He had to die and then be exalted up into glory. He taught them about why He really had come. He teaches them about Himself. And then Jesus, the Bible tells us, He makes as though He would go on further. He makes as if He would go pass on beyond their village, but what happens? They say, "No, we want You to stay with us. We want You to stay with us." Maybe in Christ's heart, that's what He really desired anyway, but He made as though He would go further. Until they implore Him, "No, we want You to stay with us." Notice what the Bible says in Luke 24, verse 28 and 29. "And they drew nigh into the village whither they went." They were getting to the village where they were headed to. "And He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them." Finally, there the disciples are going to end up recognizing who this man was. This man that had walked with them and talked with them. It was Jesus, and He truly was alive. And they were now able to see Him with their own eyes. And their hearts had been burning within them, the Bible says. Their hearts had been burning with conviction as Jesus spoke to them and shared with them the Scriptures. Notice what the Bible says there, beginning in verse 30. Luke 24 and verse 30. "And it came to pass as He sat and ate with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Their eyes were opened and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? And while He opened to us the Scriptures?" Notice that their eyes were finally open to the truth. Their eyes were finally open to the truth. Listen, has God opened your eyes to the truth? Have you ever truly been saved? Have you ever truly been saved? Have you been born again? Do you understand the significance of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ? Do you understand that you'd have no hope for salvation? You would have no chance of having a home in heaven? You would have no hope for eternal life if not for Jesus Christ? If God did not send His Son, His perfect, sinless Son, into the world to die on the cross for sinners like you and like me, we would have no hope. Our hope is Jesus. Our only hope is Jesus. You maybe have been some kind of follower of Jesus. You know what? Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you've been taught about Jesus. And maybe you've learned some of the things that Jesus taught people about how you ought to live and so on. But listen, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever recognized Jesus Christ that He's the only way? He's the truth. He's the life. He's the only way of salvation. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone as your only hope? Listen, you don't get to heaven by attending church. You don't get to heaven by reading the Bible. You don't get to heaven by giving money to the poor. You don't get to heaven by doing good deeds for other people. We're all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. It doesn't matter how spiffy we look. It doesn't matter what act we put on. It doesn't matter if we've read the Bible or been taught the Bible or memorized verses or anything. Listen, if you really don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're lost forever. Have you ever really received Him?
Our only hope is Jesus. The only way our sins can be forgiven is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was buried and who rose again to pay the penalty for our sins, for your sins and for my sins. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. These were disciples. These last two were not some of the 11 apostles, 12 apostles if you count Judas Iscariot. But they were disciples of Christ. They were ones that were in the crowds of people that followed Jesus and loved Jesus and had a belief in Jesus as the Messiah. But even then, their eyes had not been opened yet. Even then, they did not truly understand what Jesus had come to do and was doing for them. Get to know the truth shall set you free. That day, they finally had their eyes open to the truth. Jesus rose from the grave, and now these two disciples finally understood. They were no longer confused, now they believed. Truly, the Lord is risen. Notice what the Bible says in Luke 24 and verse 33 to 35. Luke 24, 33 to 35, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. They truly believe now. And you notice something about what they did? They went quickly to tell others. They went quickly to tell others. Hey, he's risen. Truly the Lord, he is risen indeed. He's not dead anymore. He's alive. Jesus is alive. They were quick to tell others. They went that same hour to tell others what they had seen and what they had heard and what Jesus had done for them. The disciples were now convinced in their own hearts. And they were concerned about others also knowing about the risen Savior. Listen, if you and I have been saved, if we've truly met Jesus, if our lives have been touched and our lives are being changed by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, listen, shouldn't we want to go and tell others? Shouldn't we want to go and tell others about Jesus Christ? Listen, you don't have to be all professionally trained to go tell others. You just have to have a desire in your heart that says, I want to tell somebody else. I'd like to tell somebody else about Jesus. I'd like to introduce somebody else to my Savior. I'd like somebody else to know that He died for their sins and He rose again and they can be set free and they can have a home in heaven. That was their desire. They finally believed and now they were concerned about others. Before they were confused and then they got convinced and they believed and now they were concerned about others. Shouldn't we go and tell others about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we go and tell others how they, like us, can have their sins forgiven and have eternal life and a home in heaven for all eternity? Salvation through Jesus Christ offers the forgiveness of sin and eternal life in heaven. Boy, that's something that everybody needs to receive, isn't it? Salvation offers us, the gift of salvation, the gift that God offers to people, offers forgiveness of sin. It offers eternal life and a home in heaven. Don't you think there's other people that need that? There's people that need that. The same gift that you claim to believe, the same gift that you claim to have received, isn't there other people that need it too? The Bible tells us in Romans 4:25, He was delivered for our offenses. Delivered what? Delivered up to the soldiers, delivered to the cross, delivered to Calvary, delivered to die that sacrificial death for us. He was delivered for our offenses, for our sins, and raised again for our justification. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Perhaps some of you have been seeking the living among the dead. Perhaps some of you have been seeking the living among the dead. And maybe you've been looking for life just in sinful activity. Maybe you've been looking for life, hey, just in the pleasures of this world. But today, why don't you just decide instead, you know what, I want to put my faith and trust in a risen Savior. Are you convinced? Are you convinced in your heart that truly Jesus is the Son of God? Are you convinced completely that He died on the cross for your sins? That He died on the cross for my sins? There was no other way of salvation. If He didn't die, we would spend eternity separated from God forever in the lake of fire. Because you and I could never be good enough to somehow please God or to overcome our sins. A just and holy God. Sin had to be punished and had to be paid for. And Jesus paid that punishment for you and me. Say, oh, I know all that. Yeah, you knew it when you were 3 years old in Sunday school. My son is 3 years old. He can tell you all these things. He knows all these things. He's been taught these things. But he hasn't believed yet. Have you? Have you? You may not be much different than him. Maybe you never really have believed. If you have confusion in your heart, why not just come to Christ? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you come to Christ, hey, He can set you free. You don't have to live in the shackles and bondage and chains of sin and guilt. What's going to happen to me? You can be set free. You can have God's gift of eternal life. You can be born again, become a child of God, if you'll put your faith in the risen Savior. If you've never done that, boy, I hope God will convict your heart to do that. Convict your heart about the need for the Savior. It would break my heart to stand in heaven one day and think that people went to Gospel Light Baptist Church for weeks or months or years. And then to see some there that should have been at the reward judgment, Bema Seat judgment, but instead find that their name was never written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they end up standing before God at the great white throne judgment. And they end up being cast in the lake of fire. That would break my heart. Listen, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be punished for your sins if you'll believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and trust Him as your Savior. If you've just played a game, why not get real and get honest and trust Christ? It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Say they think I'm saved. I got baptized. I don't care. God doesn't care. If you've never been born again, you better get saved. Hope you put your faith in Christ. You may be confused, but I hope you'll get convinced and believe if you've never believed. And if you have believed, and you're convinced, you're really convinced that you're on your way to heaven and you're really convinced that Jesus died and rose again and He's the Savior, then can we get concerned for other people? Can we get concerned for our neighbors that don't know Christ? Can we get concerned for the people in our town that don't know Christ? And do something to go and tell them? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask You, please work on our hearts. Convict us, O Lord. Help us if we don't know Christ, if we've never had our eyes open to the truth. Help us. I pray, Spirit of God, You convict and open us. Give us eyes of understanding. Eyes to recognize our own sinful, lost condition. And to see our need for the Savior. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I know for sure, 100%, without any doubts, I am convinced that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. You'd say, Pastor, I know I'm going to heaven. I have believed on Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm trusting Him to save me, forgive my sins, and take me to heaven. I know that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up for me to see that? You say, I'm convinced. I know that I'm saved. Slip your hand up. Thank you. and put your hands down. If you'd say, Pastor, I don't know for sure. I have doubts. I have real doubts, and I am not sure if I'm saved. I am not sure if my sins have been forgiven. I am not sure that I'm going to heaven. Nobody's looking around, but between me and you, and I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you today, but I'll pray for you. I'd like to help you. I'd like to know that if you don't know for sure that you're saved. If you don't know for sure you're saved, but you say, Pastor, I'd like to know that. I have doubts. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up? May you see that. Thank you. So anybody else, you say, Pastor, I have doubts. I'm really not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. You should have been able to raise your hand either to the first question or to the second question. And if you weren't, I pray for you as well. If you don't have it settled in your life, get it settled. Get it settled. If you have doubts, get it settled. If you've been saved and you've not called the Lord in believer's baptism, you need to take that step of obedience. One of the greatest things that the devil used to mess with the minds of people and cause doubts is when we don't start following the Lord and identifying with Christ and doing the things that we should. I think sometimes people get saved and they begin to be filled with doubts, and some because they don't start doing the things that a believer ought to do. In the Scriptures, what happened? People got saved and baptized right away. Every instance we see people getting saved and baptized in the Bible, it really happened the same day. And I don't think that's because baptism is a part of salvation, but I think it so much goes together. That's why people got baptized right away. They identified themselves publicly, unashamedly with Jesus Christ. I am now His and He is mine. I want to be a follower of Christ. I believed in the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If some of you have not made that public statement yet, that public declaration, that public profession of your faith in Christ, I encourage you to get baptized. You need to get baptized. You will always be held back in your mind because you are not doing what God wants you to do to obey the Savior. If you're here today and you've not been baptized by immersion, you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, baptism by immersion, so that it pictures that what you believed in now, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you need to take that step and identify with the Lord. I encourage you to do that. Make that decision to follow Christ. If you're here this morning and you have believed, you're convinced, why don't you get concerned? If you'd be honest, maybe you'd be like me and say, I'm not always as concerned as I should be. Can you ask God to start giving you a greater compassion for the lost? Can you ask God to help you to start being more concerned with the lost people around you? Can you ask God to help you? Do you just have the heart of concern that you'd like other people to know about Christ, know about the risen Savior? Okay, why not come and learn and get involved? Why not be there this Saturday for our faithfulness rally? Why not learn on a Thursday night or Saturday afternoon in the coming weeks to just go out with us and try to go soul winning, go witnessing, learn how to talk to people about Jesus? You have a desire, God can use you. If you're convinced that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, I don't think that happens every day. It's not happening every day that people are dying, being buried, and then rising up over here from the cemetery. What happened 2,000 years ago was a miracle because it was the Son of God. And if we're convinced of that and we believe in Him as our Savior, shouldn't we tell others, be concerned for others, help them to know the Savior as well? Why don't you pray and ask God to use you? Why don't you pray and ask God to help you to get involved? Why don't you pray and ask God to increase your compassion and concern, your love, your burden for others? Ask God to use you to tell others about the risen Savior.